Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, I'm Scott Soshnick.
And I'm Evan Novy Williams, and this is the Just a Kid from Akron Sports Business Podcast, The Sportacast.
Right, Larry Nance Jr. gives us a little chuckle there. Larry, if you're a listener for the show, you better be. And if you're not, just lie to me right now. I judge Eben's openings. Like, this is just a kid from Akron. I don't think his enthusiasm again. And normally that's the easy points to score. Bring enthusiasm. He was frustrated. I know he just tried to get a money order or something from the post office. I think there's a bit of frustration in his day. So I don't think he brought the enthusiasm. Degree of difficulty I didn't think was that high. Larry Nance Jr., please judge Eben Novy Williams' intro.
Got to be honest with you, I tend to agree.
Oh,
I tend to agree. It's awesome. Look, I tend to agree. Creativity out the window, but it is what it is. I'll take it. I'll just be the other kid from Akron. It's great.
Yeah. Did you think about that at all, Eben? Like, there is sort of like the thing from Akron.
Oh,
like,
I'm well
I think
aware.
Everybody's no, brains goes to somebody else.
Oh, if, I'm you very know. Aware of that, yeah.
All right. But used it. You're aware of it and utilized it anyway. That's the problem I have here.
There's
Steph Curry, right?
There's a ton of basketball talent.
Yeah, he's from Akron.
I'm sure there's another basketball player who went to Davidson. I just can't name him. But
yeah, I mean, there's one on my team, CJ McCollum.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh,
all Akron boys.
And active in the union as well.
That's a fact. Quite active.
But that is a good segue, though, because I will tell you, having been an attendee and a speaker at sort of the rookie symposium, Billy Hunter asked me to address the guys about media, having been to the summer meeting in the Bahamas, I've always been sort of disappointed in the engagement and the number of folks who really participate. Let me just get your perspective, Larry, on sort of, I think the numbers are growing, but the number of athletes who really are paying attention to not only the business of basketball, because that obviously has a lot going on, especially when there's labor negotiations, but that wider scope that they're, yes, you guys, you have to really focus on your core job. I get it. But you need to take advantage while you have the notoriety, while these opportunities are presented to you. So just your take sort of 30,000-foot view of how are athletes engaged in all of that other stuff.
Well, I think one of the first things that's important to understand about majority of us now at this point is – four-year college guys are few and far between. So very few of us, have degrees. Very few of us very few of us majored in something other than basketball when we went to school, right? So I think from that perspective, like guys like me and CJ, or like a Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart type, those Villanova guys enjoy the business side of the basketball is pretty rare now with the one and done. So a lot of guys just have people just hire people to do it for them, and then they try to explain it to them later. But the numbers are growing because we're trying to educate them. I think it's gotten better. Early in my career is rough, but it's gotten better where guys are at least engaging more and interested more.
I'm going to make a haberdashery analogy here, if I may, that Clyde Frazier years ago, I am, don't even shake your head at it. Years ago, Clyde Frazier used to say a lot, a lot of guys would come with suits and this and, Clyde, he'd say, there aren't a lot of guys who have style. You know what those folks have? They have stylists. Difference between having style and having a stylist. I think that's what you're saying in terms of sort of the business. Like, guys did turn it over. They had the stylists for the business, the agent, whatever, but they weren't engaged themselves to have style.
Yes. No, that's actually a really good analogy. That's a really good analogy.
Two, Novi Williams, nothing on the day. Wonderful.
That's a really good analogy. That's exactly how I put it.
I was going to compare the NBA to a league like the NFL, right? The NBA rosters are smaller. So you have 450 NBA players. You have 1,700, probably more actually, NFL players. There is the concentration of players, in my opinion, is one of the things that should work in the NBA's favor. I'm curious what you think about that, Larry. You just don't need as many players to be in as you do in a different league to get consensus, to get to get approval, all that stuff.
I think to an extent, yes. I think it's there's a double-edged sword, right? Like if you're established and you have a voice in the NBA, then you know, yeah, it's great to have a small group, a more easily spoken for group, but at the same time, if you're not well established, there are only 450 spots. So those spots are often taken up, changed, you know, all the time throughout the season. If there's 450 spots, I don't know how many people are actually on rosters throughout the year. It's probably closer to 550. If, you know, it's, I mean, say there's a lot of people that we shuffle through. So if you're not well established, then it's really tough, and the shuffling begins for your career.
I think we need to rename the licensing arm of the union to Think 450 plus a few others.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably a good idea.
Larry, we're going to get into your investment portfolio. You're an investor in English Soccer Club Leeds, what you're doing with Group One. Mm-hmm. But take us back to the beginning. At what stage, when did you start thinking about the opportunity you have as a professional basketball player to set yourself up for beyond basketball? Who were your mentors? What was your path to realizing that while you're playing was the right time to think about business opportunities beyond basketball?
So early in my career in LA, not at all. Wasn't even open to it, considering it. Like, I just figured, hey, you know, I'm just going to keep the money I get, and that'll be great. But then, you know, I say the older you get, but around 25, 26 for me is like, all right, you know, I just blinked and 3 years of my career is over. So I should probably like at least start to consider some of this stuff. So, you know, as athletes, we get opportunities thrown at us a ridiculous amount.
When we're done, Larry, we'll talk about that restaurant I want you to invest in when we're done.
Right.
What do those opportunities look like? Is it just people, business partners, associates, other players? Like, what is the deal flow that you're talking about? What does it look like?
A lot, honestly. Clothing brands, other players coming to you with different things that they're doing. And when I was living in LA, like, people would come up to you at lunch and be like, "Hey, I want to tell you about this. I want to tell you about my idea." It's like, No, I'm not.
Larry, I have heard this time and time again. You said no, but it's not the easiest word to communicate. Like, people have a hard time saying no.
But again, like I said, like, I believe 4 years of college helps with that. You know, helps in growing up and being able to kind of understand and speak for yourself a little bit. So I was very fortunate, you know, to kind of grow up with people, you know, kind of around my dad and, you know, watching him handle uncomfortable situations and kind of be like, "Hey man, you know, I don't, let me ask my people. Meanwhile, I don't got any people. It's me." And the answer's no. The opportunities come all the time, but I like to think those with style know a good one when it comes.
Yep. But let me tell you a story. This one always stuck with me. Grant Hill, one of the first, by the way, to utilize a lawyer instead of an agent, paid somebody by the hour. Mm-hmm. That was Lon Babbie, who later, you know, wound up being the president of the Phoenix Suns, but, you know, from one side to the other. But Grant told me a story long ago that when he was a younger player, obviously he came into the NBA with name, brand, value, recognition. Of course, star at Duke. But what he would do on the road, while other players were sleeping in, watching cartoons, whatever, Grant would set up meetings with the opposing team owner. One, to establish a relationship, and two, to pick the brain. What's your core business? How do you incorporate the basketball? We should know each other now. And it was easy to get the meeting as Grant Hill NBA player. Not so easy mm-hmm. when you're done playing ball. Anything like that in your past, sort of trying to really drill down into the participation, like how the ecosystem of basketball and how the people can help you when you're done playing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for me, it was all broken down really simple, right? I was fortunate enough to grow up with one of my buddies' dad was ended up being the head of a major finance firm. So
come on, whoa. Come on. Give us some names. Who do we got? And what firm? Who are we talking about?
He was the head of a major finance firm, right? He was my childhood best friend.
All right, I'm telling everybody, again, Lloyd Blankfein was your neighbor.
One of these other kids from Akron, right? You know, it was pretty simple for me. The way he broke it down is just like, you know, hey, look, if you have this amount in a bank account, if you generate this account, if you can get this number, then passively you will get this for the rest of your life just by letting your money work for you. And
compound interest and principal, really good things to know.
Exactly. So he, you know, that's how he broke it down for me. And so say my number is $20. If I want to get $20 in the bank, and you know, pretty comfortably, like, here you go, I'll drop a little hint. Right now, the Schwab Money Market Fund is returning at about 4.5-5%. So if I get $20 in the bank, what do I have? And that generates 4.5 to 5 a year. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good return. And if I can't live off that when I'm done, you know, if I can't live off that when I'm done, now I got to look at myself. So for me, it was all about building a nest egg, and obviously, you know, you want to make investments here and there to keep the flow of income available and coming in when you're done playing and making the bulk of your money. But for me, still, it's more about just like saving.
Do you have a low risk tolerance? I'm curious, what kind of investor are you?
Majority very low risk, okay. Yes. But then I've got free rein to kind of be a little bit more aggressive on once I've put my X percent of every check away, now I can go do some stuff on my own and see if we can make somewhere outside.
Yeah, walk us through some of those bigger swings. I assume you're not, maybe you are. Is leads in that category? Walk us through kind of the things once you establish the baseline and the lower risk stuff. What leads you to the bigger things?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So, again, for me, it's a lot of relationships, really, that make me feel comfortable going in on an investment. And really, another thing I've learned is money follows money, right? Like it's a rich get richer system, which, you know, fortunate or unfortunate, benefits me for the moment. And, you know, so it's pretty easy. You see a deck here and there. Like I saw one company, and it was like, I got this set the deck, and it was like, oh, LeBron, Drake, Apple are invested in this. It's like, yeah, I don't need to see too much more. I don't need to see it. Sure. Yes, I'm in. You know, where, you know, those guys, you follow. It's like you follow the blue chip.
We play
traders,
the game. We follow the shekels. Yeah, we play follow the shekels.
You follow the blue chip traders. Yeah. It's pretty easy. But yes, Leeds is in that category for me. But Leeds, I got to be honest with you, Leeds is it an investment? Yes. But that is so much more than just an investment for me. Like, I play basketball, but my favorite sport and favorite thing to do is watch soccer and be around and be involved with soccer. And so Leeds is a passion project for me. Like, I, even if the group I'm with sells out, I still want to stay in. Like, I want to be there for good. I want to be part of that ownership team, part of that community, part of that fandom forever. I think it's been a joy of my career thus far.
For folks who listeners who don't know, the 49ers led a group that purchased the majority stake in Leeds recently. And you, Larry, Russell Westbrook. There's a few golfers in there. What's your connection there? Mm-hmm. Who brought you into that? What was your connection that got you into that deal?
I'm hoping we get a friend of the program, Parag, mentioned here. That's what I'm hoping.
So I actually hadn't met Parag until. Until I got in, I got through the door. But it was funny enough. It was actually a fellow NBA player, TJ McConnell, who we're going to play tonight. Me and him, the guys that love soccer in the NBA are. It's like this, right? Like we talk about it. We text each other. Mm-hmm. It's like we post about all. It's that we love it and we love talking to each other about it. So TJ. Was a Liverpool supporter. I was a Chelsea supporter. And we were both like really into it, watching, texting on the weekends, like, yo, can you believe what Salah just did? You know, just, you know, that type of stuff. And so this opportunity was brought to him originally. And I had previous opportunities to get involved with English clubs, but none felt like Leeds. None felt like Leeds. And I went over and took a visit just fell in love with it. I love the town. I love the people. The supporters are fantastic. I just fell in love with it. And so for me, it was easy, very easy.
That story reminds me, we had Travis Kelce's business managers were at an event of ours in December, and they were talking about Travis and Patrick Mahomes investing in the F1 team Alpine. And the way mm-hmm. Pat got involved, as they told it, was that it was an opportunity for Kelce. Kelce knew Pat, was interested in these opportunities. They're obviously close. And he had his people reach out to Pat's people and say, hey, look, if Patrick's interested, like we've got this deal here. It's fascinating to me that a lot of the athlete deal flow seems to come from each other. That you just know what each other, your friends, you know what each other's interested in. Some opportunity hits your desk or hits someone else's desk. They think of you. It's really interesting that and even players who aren't on the same team, right, can help bring each other along in business opportunities. I find that really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you got to keep in mind, I spend more time with my teammates than I do my family in season. So it's, you know, these are who you know that I know what everybody likes to do, what everybody's interests are and all that. So yeah, something slides across my desk. Like I just brought one the other week to CJ McCollum and just, you know, just was like, hey, this sounds like you.
What
and,
was it?
You know, whether it is or isn't, under NDA at the moment, but, you know, it was just like, you know, sounds like you. So if you're interested, great. If not, I just wanted to put it across your desk, and it looks like we're both going in.
On this show, we label it friend-DA. You know, it's not an NDA; it's a friend-DA. You can kind of share with us. It's fine. It's all here among friends.
Yeah, we'll have to turn the cameras off.
We like to triangulate stuff on this show, and Eben just talked about, you know, our thing, and they were talking about. I thought it was going to go somewhere else because you were talking about Leeds and that community. We also had the guys from Maximum Effort, which is Ryan Reynolds' content firm. They were also represented on that panel, and I asked them. I said, "What's to stop, let's say, Taylor Swift, or you know, what's to stop someone from emulating what you've created at Wrexham?" And he really said, just bring in celebrity, bring in the money doesn't guarantee success. He's like, they really have a buy-in on the community. And that is what's making the difference here. It sounds like you sound like to me an investor. When you're in, you're in. You understand that makes a difference as to whether or not there'd be a successful outcome on the other end.
Yeah, I do believe that. But like I said, again, for Leeds, it was an investment? Yeah, it was an investment. You know, it was a nice chunk of change. But for me, like, it's not about the money at the end for that one specifically. Like you invest in a lot of things very passively, right? Like, hey, yeah, this Legends, right? It's an athleisure brand. I'm invested in them. And for me, I put my money in and I just sit back and I go, yeah, I trust you. Go ahead. You know, it's great. I'm not sitting there watching it.
Right.
But, you know, for leads, like, you know, I put my money in and now I'm up on game days watching games. I've got my Leeds kits. I've got Leeds kits from all eras, wearing them every day. It's like a real thing for me. It's a very active investment. And again, it's less of an investment, more like I'm in. I love those people. I love the team. Like it's been, like I said, it's been a joy of my career to be involved with this so far. And hopefully I never have to look back.
You know, let's look forward to Group One now, sort of a marketing agency. You're trying to help athletes sort of at least follow, I don't know, is it your blueprint? Is it your model? But there are avenues available to athletes. Now, what makes Group One different from marketing firm A, from agent B, from colossal firm? You know, I could name an Octagon. I can name, a CAA. You know, what are we getting here? What, why this, and what's different about it?
So again, you know, I had said earlier that, you know, for me, investing is all about, you know, relationships and you know, who you know, what they do, that type of stuff. So this one was, again, this one was pretty easy for me as well. I think what sets Group One apart is the experience behind it. Both Pierre and Sergio they've been doing this for how many years?
Give the listeners a little bit more of the bios there. Like, they don't know who Pierre and Sergio are. Just give a little quick bio. We'll pull it out of you. Don't worry about it.
I apologize. Well, Pierre and Sergio have been working for the NBA for years. And, you know, just in terms of like NBA Europe, they've been, you know, scheduled, you know, I go to Europe every single summer. Once, twice, I go watch Premier League football. Now it's Leeds. Like, I go watch, really go over there. And so every time I go, you know, NBA would set me up with these guys that like knew everything about anything I possibly wanted to do. It was like, hey, you know, I need a good hotel. Yeah, here's seven. Hey, I need a good whatever it is. Yeah, here's all that. Like, they had every connection in every place that I ever wanted to go. And so, you know, formed a relationship with them. And so when they brought the opportunity to me, it was, again, a no-brainer for me because I had personal experience with the fact that I, as an American, and realistically, we as Americans have no idea what we're doing in Europe. And I consider myself a pretty well-rounded NBA player. There are guys that do go to Europe and do go overseas that have no idea what they're doing, and they need, you know, you need some guidance, and I've seen it firsthand. So I think these guys, you know, both Pierre and Sergio are going to be terrific. They have already been terrific for me, and I believe that, you know, NBA players coming to Europe and you know, football players coming to America and the exchange of respect and time amongst each other is just going to continue to grow and boom.
Who's your favorite soccer player?
Of all time, Samuel Eto'o.
Okay.
Currently, that's a hard one.
It's got to be someone on Leeds, right?
That's what I was waiting for, a Leeds player, but no, not yet.
Those Americans?
No, that's a hard. Well, no, I'm torn between. Look, Archie Gray from Leeds is I adore him. He's great, and then, Crescencio Somerville, probably one of those two are my favorite. I'd say.
I had my son years ago escort Didier Drogba out during
awesome.
Yeah, my son had a mohawk at the time, and you know, right away he and Didier got along. He was rubbing his head, so that worked out well. I saw that Kim Kardashian's kid escorted Messi out the other night. Your thoughts into let's go buy, sell, hold. Where are you on soccer in the U.S., MLS particularly? I mean, we know franchise valuations are booming, but if someone came to you and said, hey, you we're gonna open up a round here for an MLS team, would Larry Nance Jr. be interested?
I'd be interested, absolutely. I think soccer in America is going to continue to it's going to continue to take off. I really do think that. I mean, what we got coming up here, you know, with this World Cup is, I'm really optimistic that it's just going to like finally open our eyes to the to the greatest sport in the world. Like, yeah, it's the greatest.
Adam Silver on line one, Larry.
look, I've said it and I'll say it again. I play basketball. I love soccer. No, really, I think it's going to open our eyes to how beautiful the game is and how much passion there is behind it. And obviously the MLS and the MLS is, you know, getting bigger, you know, with Inter Miami and Messi and Suarez and all those guys coming over, you know, just like Zlatan did for LA while I was out there. It was really cool to see. I'm a firm buy on soccer in the United States.
Eben is like the Ibra of the podcast world. Like, he's the Ibrahimovic of the podcast world. He doesn't have his man bun going right now.
Without
but that's
the ego,
him.
Though, and the tattoos. Yeah. I don't have those.
I agree with that.
Larry, I want to ask you about one of the biggest stories in the NBA in the past few weeks has been the All-Star game and what is and is not working both for players and for fans. You've participated in a dunk contest. Your father won, I think, the first slam dunk contest. I'm curious what you think. If Adam Silver called you and was like, hey, what can we do to get players more interested in this, to create a more compelling weekend for fans, what do you think the solution or some of the possible solutions might be?
I first and foremost, I think it's really difficult. I think it's really difficult. You know, I myself have never played an All-Star game, but I do think our season is long and grueling, right? So from a player's perspective, we get one guaranteed week a year to rest and recover. And these stars go into that week and they're like, no, except you. You don't get rest or recovery. We want you to compete really hard against the other best players. And I understand those guys wanting rest and recovery. But at the same time, like, I grew up watching the All-Star game. I grew up watching All-Star Weekend. I would love to see him play hard as well because that's the best in the world. And, you know, more viewers are going to pay attention to, you know, LeBron and KD really going at it. And Steph and Jokic, like, they want to see the best play against the best. And you know, that is an opportunity for that. So I understand from both perspectives. I honestly have no idea what to do. None. I'm very glad to have no real say.
That's far too measured a cerebral take for the sports talk world, Larry. We can't have that kind of stuff. We need something silly. Like, give me like cancel the season and just play an All-Star game.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let me toss out the idea that we had discussed on the podcast a few weeks ago. If you took the two rosters of All-Star players, told them that there's no All-Star game, they're going to be in a gym with cameras and microphones for 2.5 hours. Everything's on the record, and they can do whatever they want. Roll some balls out there. They can sit and chat. They can play. They can shoot hoops. They can horse, whatever, knockout. They can just sit there and talk about their investments or whatever they want to. But everything is going to be mic'd up. Do you think you end up with a compelling 2.5 hour product of getting a glimpse into these athletes, or do you think that ends up being a disaster?
Oh, it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
It's going to be a disaster. Yeah, it's going to be a disaster.
You think just with cameras on, people are just not going to want to be entertaining or talk about anything real?
No, you got to understand. Like, we're really good at not saying things we shouldn't under camera. Like, we're constantly under camera. So, I think it'd be terribly boring, and no one's going to pick up a basketball.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah, no one's picking up a basketball. Maybe maybe Anthony Edwards might shoot left-handed, but like, you know, other than that, I think guys are just going to sit around and BS with a good one.
Another one.
Can't wait to see the ratings on that one, Evan.
Great idea. Another one.
Oh, it's a joke. It's a joke.
Another one that we have talked about relative to the slam dunk contest, the NHL's All-Star game this year kind of redid its skills competition, put a very big prize, I think it was a multi-million dollar prize in front of the winner. Is there a dollar figure on the slam dunk contest that you think gets the bigger and most fan friendly names to participate, or do you think that there's just not enough to, along the things that you're saying, not enough to get to get names like that to do this once again?
I think that's twofold, honestly. The dunk contest is an interesting one. I think money is a great incentive. Obviously, like, you're going to get more people with more money. But two, look, I think personally, like, in LA, you know, when I first got in the league, I believe that I was a top 1 to 2% athletes who have ever played the game. I believe that. So I think I've seen and done and been in gyms with just about all that we as humans can do physically. You know, like there's just not much else to be discovered in the dunk contest. I really believe that. Like, I think we're close to tapping out, and I don't know what the solution is to that, but we're seeing repeated dunks, same dunk. And now there's like various tweaks to them, but it's all kind of the same stuff. And I think it's less to do with creativity and more to do with biology.
Hold on. This is where I got to jump in. Hold on, Larry. I got to get creative here. When I covered the NBA way back when, it was like Dikembe and Lonzo Mourning. And in practice, they would have brooms, you know, to block, pretend that you were defending. I see trampolines and brooms as a wonderful elixir for the problem here. We got to get creative.
Yeah. Trampoline is the solution to guys worried about
getting hurt. Yeah, trampolines and brooms are the solution.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Trampolines are going to get a lot of guys. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Because I've heard, you know, people mention like, okay, we get the three best dunkers in the NBA, the three best shot blockers, and have them go at it.
Oh, God. It's like, no. God. That's broken bones. That's broken bones. Yeah, no.
That is bad news. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's bad news. But I don't know a solution, but I do believe we're in a weird place of kind of coming to the tail end of what people can do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, they're trying to be creative, but I've seen a reverse and underneath a this or that. Mm-hmm. What more can the human body do?
I've seen everybody other jump than over props, tall players.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, I was making an exaggerated joke. Like, other than props and all that, like, you're jumping over Shaq. You're jumping over a car. Who was it that jumped over the key? I don't even remember. I've covered so many of these.
Blake.
Okay, yeah. Blake. Yeah. So what else am I doing here? Like, what else am I realistically doing?
No, I couldn't agree. We're saying the same thing. I agree with you. How many different variations of between the legs and windmills can we see? And it's not anybody's fault. It's just, I think it's just fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another topic in the NBA this year. What did you make of the in-season tournament? Obviously a new set of inventory. We may see a media company swoop in and grab that in the next few months. But from a player perspective, give us your initial expectations and then what you thought about it from a business standpoint, looking back.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was super stupid. I thought it was really dumb. I thought these guys we're not going to play hard for something that doesn't count towards our record. Like, no. But after, you know, we went 3-1 in our group games and went to Vegas and got to see the production they put behind it. And I'll tell you what, I'm in on it. I think granted it was year one, but I think they did it right. I think the courts are horrendous, but it gives you something to like, it's different.
You turn it on TV, different. You know immediately this is an in-season tournament game.
Yes, absolutely. There's no questions. And it gives people to, honestly, you know, publicity is publicity. And those courts, good or bad, were publicity. So I was out on it at first, but you know, I think it's great. I really do. I think it's great. And guys played hard. I mean, you know, we played Bron, and he was running like he was 21 years old in that in-season tournament. So,
where's he from again?
Like guys are playing hard.
Yeah, where's he from again?
He's just one of the other kids.
That's what I thought. That's what. You know what? I haven't seen a good answer on Larry. And you're engaged. You're eloquent. What happened at the Union with Tamika Tremaglio?
To be fair, I'm not part of that. I'm not in the PA. I don't know.
All right. Yeah. What does Andre bring? What is the message from Andre Iguodala taking over, former player, tech investor, all the things we're talking about, future past basketball? What has Andre brought to the players so far?
Dre's been great. He's been a face we know, a face all these guys have seen play growing up, so he has equity to him, right? Like, there's nothing Andre can say that he hasn't done. You know, like, hey, we want you to do this. Yeah, I've done it and won 3 championships. So, like, you know, there's no excuses. Like, he's one of us. So, like, he's been through it. He understands. We just saw him in New York last night. I'm really a fan of the hire. I think he's going to be great for us. And I think it's important and imperative that we show that. You know, yeah, we're athletes, but we got guys that can that really know what they're doing, business savvy, and can and articulate themselves in any room. And you know, he's he's leading the charge for that. Him and CJ
I think are
a powerful duo.
I love the message that players could take. Like, Andre chose Golden State in part because he wanted to be near venture capital and he wanted a relationship with Joe Lacob, you know, Kleiner Perkins founder. I mean, that was part of the reason he should, not only, it wasn't just a basketball decision. This was a where I am in my career decision for how can I set myself up. I mean, that's an interesting message for players to download.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the things that the union has is trying to prioritize is a possibility of players investing in teams, some vehicle to do that. I assume, given your business background, that's something that you're interested in. But what do you think about the idea of players being able to share in the appreciation, the rapid appreciation of NBA franchises, which obviously you guys have not been able to do in years past?
I think it would have to go into a general NBA bucket.
Yeah, it's gonna be a collective pool. Yeah, it'll be a pooled capital.
Yes. Yeah, I was gonna say you can't just let guys like, hey, man, the Bucks are pretty good.
I'm gonna
put some more. You know, like, no, that's the very definition of insider trading. And if you give us the opportunity, we will do it. I think we should have, you know. It's us, you know. I think we should have some skin in our game, in our league, and in the league that we're continuing to promote and expand. So, there needs to be a limit on how much, and there needs to be a limit on you know, all that type of stuff. But yeah, we should have some say and ability to invest in the product we're pushing.
Lastly, we'll get you out on this. We're talking about revenue streams. Media is always the biggest one. New media deal coming up on the horizon for the NBA. You know, the institutionals are ESPN, Turner. You're in the streaming world. My kid only watches YouTube and Snapchat. Your thoughts on sort of the next media deal and how you'd like to see basketball presented to the world so that you grow eyeballs?
My only real push on this is... I think we had what we're doing currently with Bally. It's gotta make it easier for local people to watch their local teams.
Well, owners have gone to the kind of freebie, like just trying to get a bigger audience. But they're sacrificing revenue for that. Understand that they're giving up money for that.
For sure. I don't know the tech behind it or any of that, but we've got to find a way to make it easier for people from New Orleans to watch the Pelicans, for people from Indiana to watch the Pacers and not just the Warriors and the Lakers and the Bucks and the Celtics. Like, you know, I understand those are the big money teams, but you know, you got to be able to tune into your local market, and it seems more difficult than ever to be able to do so.
All right, man. You were in New York. Too bad. We should have gotten together and had some more of these discussions. I love this stuff. We love this stuff.
Yeah, let's do this again.
These are the discussions we love to have. Let's offline on some of the other stuff you're doing. And I'm fascinated by sort of your close circle of NBA players and soccer fans. I want to see that. Do you have a Slack channel? Is it email? How are those discussions going? I want to see like Saturday morning among NBA players. Like, who's the president of that whole league? Who gets that going?
Oh man, I gotta be honest with you. I kind of think I'm.
You?
I kind of think I'm
leading
the charge. Yeah, right. it's kind of me in terms of, you know.
You're wearing like, the armband. You know, you're number seven. Wearing the armband.
Yeah, I got my captain's. Yeah, I got my captain's sleeve on. But no, you know, different guys love different teams. You know, Jimmy Butler's a PSG fan. TJ McConnell obviously with Leeds now, but was Liverpool. Bron ownership in Liverpool. Like, guys are starting to really get involved and really pay attention and I like to think I'm at the forefront of kind of starting those conversations and the banter.
I love it. Well, Larry, I may look like a spring chicken, but you know, I covered your dad back in the day, and you know, to have the fun now. You know, the LeBron now plays against kids of fathers that he played against, so it's fun for me to see
cool.
The evolution of. I would have guessed. Like, you close my eyes and listening to you, I'd have been like, all right, this guy comes from sort of a four-year institution background or had a parent that played pro sports. Like, that's what I would have guessed that. And it that's how you're coming across.
Two for two.
Yeah.
Two for two. No, I appreciate that. It's I like to credit, you know, it's probably my dad that, you know, because, you know, when you're a kid and an NBA player and an NBA legend, you know, you kind of have to be – you got to be able to carry yourself in some pretty powerful rooms.
When you were growing up, what poster did you have? What poster did you have? What jersey did you wear? Because no way your dad was your favorite player. That just, I mean, as a parent,
absolutely
now that didn't
not
happen.
No, he
so
wasn't.
So who was your guy? Who was your guy growing up?
I went through stages. Okay. It was Jermaine O'Neal at times. It was Brandon Bass at times. It was
Brandon Bass. Really?
It was Jeff Green. Yeah, oh, I love Jeff Green. I love Brandon Bass. It was David West. I found myself loving like power forwards that could do a little bit more. So,
right.
Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is my all time favorite player.
Rudy Gay, your all time favorite player. No, Dale Davis. Yeah, I was waiting for a Dale Davis.
No, Dale Davis. I didn't watch too much. I didn't watch too much VHS.
Oh wow. He just brought me back to my youth. God damn, that hurt.
Hey, yeah, I'm sorry. I know.
Alrighty. Well, thank you very much.
Hey, but get rid of him now. I'm hurt. I gotta go.
Thank you very much to Larry Nance, forward with the New Orleans Pelicans. You can find Larry on Twitter at LarryDN22. My co-host is Scott.
Ooh, homework Soschnick. Right there. He did his homework. You can find him on the Twitter.
You can find Scott's good homework Scott right there. On Twitter at Soschnick. I am Evan Novi Williams. You can find me on Twitter at Novi_Williams. The show is produced by Aaron Greenewald. Thank you very much to Aaron. Sportico's digital media editor, Cora Veltman, would like you to know that you can follow the show at Sporticast, which is the hub of the Sportico Media Network.